Blog Talk Radio.
And you're tuned in to another episode of Let's Talk with Crystal K. You never know what I might say, but just know whatever it is, I'm going to keep it real. We do have some guest speakers in tonight. I'm looking forward to a couple of call-ins. But our purpose for the show tonight is for those to walk with me. We can blog about a lot of things in this world, a lot of things on radio, a lot of things over the internet. But when it comes to Christ, then maybe we don't get that much of a response. Now, I'm sure there are a lot of people with pockets of intelligence to know, you know, that there is a God. And we're just going to touch on that tonight. There's a lot of controversies about who God really is. But I guess our theme tonight is to turn non-believers into believers. You know, it says one could put 1,000 to flight and two can put 10,000. And I want to be that willing and diligent vessel to put that 1,000 to flight, win a soul so we can put 10,000. Maybe we can do that tonight. I have some guests with me. If you would introduce yourself.
I'm Chad.
I'm Bill.
And in this walking with me, Chad and Bill, I guess I'm just wondering, you know, Bill, are you a believer?
Absolutely.
And what is it that you truly believe in?
Well, I believe that there's a God and that he created the world and that everybody that believes in him will be saved, you know, in the end. Try to follow in Jesus' works and everything like that. Now, people have different opinions about that. We have different religions out there, different denominations of religions that say you go about doing that different ways. But all in the end, it's about, from my understanding, is being able to put your faith in God.
Well, I can't argue with you on that. And Chad, do you have some input? Do you have some feedback?
I mean, it depends on what we're talking about.
I'm just, are you a believer? Do you believe that
absolutely.
There is a God? You know,
I don't believe I know. I'm well beyond belief. I've actually experienced God, so I know there's a God and a Christ and Holy Spirit and all of the above.
So when we speak of God, as he was saying before, and Bill, you made a pretty valid point. You know, there are people who talks about many gods. Do you just truly believe that in the end, every knee shall bow and every tongue that shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the Son of God, whom he sent here to the earth? Both of you believe that with me?
I do. Now, you have to take in consideration, too, I think that you go back to the Native Americans here in America. Now, before we come here, they believed in a spirit in the sky, which I think for them could have been God. I think different religions have different ways of expressing it. And this is, you know, when you're talking religion, you get into...
it's a squishy subject.
Yeah,
it's
you can get into discussions with people that turn into arguments, especially when you're talking about religion. And for me, it's to look at just the big picture. I look at different religions, different denominations, and you know what? It all comes down to, you know, your faith in God and trying to live a good life.
It's a hard issue.
It is. And for me, you know, you try to live a good life and you believe. Now, different people is going to say there's different avenues to get to that. There's different ways. People might say you have to not cuss, not tattoo yourself. Different things they say about that. But I think as long as a person lives a good life, has faith, and tries to do well with others and his family, I don't see any problem whether you believe, whether you're Jewish or whether you're Catholic or
Amish, whatever.
Whatever kind of religion. The domination that you go with, I think as long as you're doing good, I don't see a problem with the way you worship. I don't think it's how you do it, it's as long as you get there.
Exactly, and that's just like obtaining your own walk, you know, with God, with Christ. And Chad, I just want to go to you. What inspired your walk?
Well...
You said you had an experience,
I've had multiple experiences, but I mean, mainly, I met my wife now, who's my wife now, who's my girlfriend, and we went. I was pretty much all right. Just to be completely honest, I was scared to death. I didn't know what was going on. I went to church with her one day, and this guy walked up to me and starts talking to me about this stuff. And the only church experience I remember from being a kid was going to a Pentecostal church with my grandmother.
When you say he walked up to you, he prophesied to you?
Yeah.
He gave you a word from God? Okay.
Yeah, well, multiple times. But the first night, he just came up and witnessed to me. And I was like, I was blown away. And he was like, I don't remember exactly what he said, but he was like, so what you're telling me is you know there's a parachute in a plane, you're about to crash. So you're, but you're not going to put that parachute on. Why wouldn't you put the parachute on? And you know, the more I thought about it, and this has been eight years ago. I don't know. If my wife would be mad at me if I forgot, but I think we've been married 7 years now. So eight and a half, 9 years ago, I guess. I don't remember. Anyway. So, you know, that's when it all started for me, was because of my wife. You know, she didn't want to be with me if I wasn't, you know, willing to at least give the God thing, is what that's what I called it whenever
we
were dating.
Truly believing, because you have to be equally yoked.
Well, yeah, I mean, and that's what she was worried about. And you know, I told everybody, I was like, this is crap, man. I don't believe in this prophecy thing. And my friend was like, my friend that was there, he was like, yeah, you don't believe it. And then he started telling me things about myself that no one knew.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this was, to me then, was a stranger. And, I mean, he's become one of my mentors. I mean, great guy, down to earth, not religious, which to me, religion is death. I mean, I've never been much on religion, but, you know, it's a spiritual thing. Religion to me is like people who will, you know, say, well, you can't do that. You can't drink a beer. You can't do that. That's, you can't tattoo yourself. You can't have tattoos. You're going to go to hell. To me, that's religion, and I don't think that my God is that petty.
Well, you know, the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life. If he's pinpointed on it, I'm going to say somewhere in the Bible, and truly I believe in the Bible, but I also believe some parts of the Bible has been altered, that, you know, I'm going to say if you have tattoos or drinking, that's not really going to send you to hell. Is that where you're going with?
Yeah.
Religion is what's going to send you to hell instead of sin.
Well,
it's true to say sin is sin.
And to me, religion is a, you know, it's, I don't know how to explain it. It's just not, to me, it's not good. Religion is, you know, it's being like held down. I mean, it's not filling yourself with the spirit fully. You know, it's not a spiritual thing. Religion is about works for most people. And you know, there is but one way, you know, and it's not through the works that you do. It's through Christ himself. That's how you get to heaven. You don't get to heaven by going and walking the streets and, you know,
okay. Well, we have a caller. We're gonna take this call here. First caller, thanks for calling in to the Crystal K Show. And your name? And we're listening in. Okay, we're gonna go to the next caller. Thank you for calling in to the Crystal K Show. State your name.
Pastor Tabit Wilson.
Hi, Pastor. I'm glad you call in, Pastor Wilson. We do have two other people here. We have Bill and Chad, and we're just having this discussion about walking with me. I guess this show tonight, the theme and basis is on turning non-believers into believers. So I just have a question, since you said that you're a pastor. What inspired your walk with God?
Can you repeat that again? You were in and out a little bit there.
I apologize. We just wanted to know what inspired your walk with God.
What inspired my walk with God?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Basically, you know, that's something that has been in me since I can remember. Ever since I was a child, I've always been in tune with the Spirit of God, and I always wanted to go to church. I always wanted to read my Bible. I was always wanting to be in Bible study. And as the children said, I was a little geek of the group. I didn't want to do the other things that the children done. It was something that was born within inside of me. However, I did drift away, you know, from the faith. And I come back, and what pulled me back was I was about to lose my mind after the death of my grandmother. And after that, I had to call on what I knew, and that was that spirit that lived and dwelled on the inside of me. And so that pulled me back to the faith. And so I've been there ever since. I'm reminded of the scriptures, how it speaks of 1 Timothy 4:1, how it speaks of now that the Spirit speaketh expressively, that in those latter times some shall depart from the faith, and I was that one once upon a time. But blessed be the name of the Lord, that I pray my strength, and I ask that you guys pray my strength, that I stay strong in the Lord today. So that's what has pulled me back into this walk. I hope I've answered the question.
You have definitely efficiently answered the question, then, and it goes with another saying in the Bible: train up your child in the way that they should go, and they should not go astray. You know, we're just sitting here talking. I just guess I want to know, what is your intake on religion?
Well, religion is not a bad thing. However, it's what man makes it.
Okay.
And so we have made it a bunch of legalism. And legalism is defined as the extra do's and don'ts of the Bible. And so that's what man has made religion a bad thing. But it is not a bad thing. And so I don't have anything against religion as long as we are moving according to the will of God.
Okay.
I absolutely agree.
Anyone else want to have anything or any statements on that? Okay, so and at what point, Pastor Wilson, did you know that there was no turning back for you? That you knew that you wasn't going to go back, this was it, you're in this, your walk with God, this is going to be concrete, you're going to stand on a firm foundation, you'll let nothing and no one separate you from the love of God? At what moment, being that you said you were brought up this way, then you strayed away and you came back, at what moment did you know that this is it, this is my walk, I'm going to do this until the end of the world?
Well, I can remember when I was in the world, I always wanted to come out of the world. I just didn't know how, and I always thought that I couldn't come out. And so when I did fall upon my knees and call on the name of Jesus, and really meant that in my spirit, and he delivered me from that, and this particular walk, because so many chances, God has given me so many chance after chance, and I can't even begin to express the number, but he's given me so many chances. But this time right here, when I begin to fall in love with Jesus, this time right here, because see, many of us, we come to Christ without knowing Christ. We come to Christ through our grandmothers, through our fathers and through our mothers and through even our pastors. But this time I came to God introducing myself and asking him, who are you? And I began to fall in love with God. And when I began to fall in love with God, I began to learn more about him for myself. And so as I'm continuing to learn more and more of who he is, I'm reminded of the old song the old saints used to sing, you can't make me doubt him because I know too much about him. And I just know too much about him right now. There's no way that I could turn back. I just can't because I know who I am in Christ now. And I know what he has said about me, and I know what he has predestined for my life. The things that he has chosen to reveal to me, and there's nothing that this world can offer me that my God can't offer me, that which is eternal.
Amen.
Eternal life with him. And I'm also, I'm reminded of the scriptures, and I stand firm on the word of God. And and I just take this with me that, you know, when I see someone else overtaken in any kind of fault or trespasses or transgression, you know, that and me being a spiritual being that I am, you know, that I'm reminded that I must restore such a one in meekness. Unless I can and consider not myself, at least I fall into that temptation. And so I'm constantly being aware that, you know, I'm on purpose. I'm on my destined walk, and not just for me, but for others. And too many people need me, so I can't do it. And most of all, I have to answer the call of who God has called and ordained me to be. And so, no, I'm here. Now, Miss Paul, you know, I'm a prisoner of the Lord, and this is because what I choose to do.
And you said being a prisoner, that's going to come to my next question, which is an off-the-wall question. So do you ever want to take days off from being a believer? You know, just,
do I ever do what now? Say it again.
Do you ever want to take days off from being a believer?
Do I ever want to take things off?
Take days off.
Take days off from being a believer. No.
Yes.
No. I wouldn't have always said no to that question, but today I say no, because this is a process, and so it's a step by step. I didn't move away overnight, and I'm not coming overnight. But this is a process. Now, in the beginning of this walk, you know, when I was still trying to be lukewarm, as you say. I'm reminded of the scriptures, you know, neither, you know, cold or hot. I mean, you have to be cold or hot, neither, nor do not be lukewarm. So he'll spit you out of his mouth. And so in the beginning of this walk here, I was still trying to be a Sunday Christian, as you may say. And then once I come out of that mold, you know, it became a whole different ball game. I can remember, you know, the Bible says that the way of the transgressor is hard.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I was in that state there, I was there was times when I wanted to take off some stuff and lay down some stuff. But today, no. Because, see, I've got the yoke of Jesus, and that yoke is easy. So,
and the burden is light.
Come on.
And so you heard it for yourself. Pastor Wilson, we really want to thank you for calling into the show and your words and your walk, your test, which has been turned into your testimony. Hopefully, you know, it reached people and teach to people. And we really want to say thank you for calling in, and you do have a wonderful night, and we're going to take our next caller.
Amen. God bless you.
God bless you, too.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for calling in to the Crystal K Show. And we're going to take our next caller.
Yeah. Hello.
Thank you for calling in to the Crystal K Show. Say it yourself.
I'm DeWan.
DeWan who?
DeWan that called last week about $25.
Yes, we did have an offer at $25. So you are the first caller on today. You can come on down to National College here and claim your prize. We're going to put you on a brief hold. Did you have anything else to say regarding our topic on today? Are you just calling about them $25?
Yes, ma'am, really, to be honest. Sorry about that.
Well, we thank you for calling in. Again, your name was what, DeWan?
Yes, ma'am.
The one that called about the $25, y'all hear that? The one I'm going to put you on a free phone so we can get your credentials, so we can get your $25 and come on down to National and claim your prize. Thank you for calling.
Yes, ma'am. Have a good day.
So that was two great calls. Anybody have any input?
No, I mean, she was a great speaker. Seemed to have a lot of faith and, you know, could explain, you know, the feeling inside herself. So, I mean, you can't get better than that, you know, hearing that about somebody.
And right, and that walk, and you know, so yeah, our goal was tonight, and hopefully this would reach a lot of people. And I guess I didn't ask y'all to this question, So I don't want to throw anybody off. So, I mean, do you, Chad, you know, in your walk, I assume you, from what you've said, you have your own walk with Christ. Do you ever feel like you want to take days off of being what it is you think is according and how appeasing it is to God and being whatever it is he wants you to be?
I want to take the hard days off whenever I know he says for me to do something and I don't want to do it. That's when I want to take a day off. It's whenever I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. Like approaching someone or going up to somebody and saying something that you know is not something that's going to be easy for them or yourself. Those are the days I want to take off. But I wouldn't say days, just moments.
And I'm going to write this book because sometimes I have to ask myself, and I don't know if I want to wear the titles, but I was brought up into holiness. Like, am I really a Christian? Because I have thoughts, you know. I have thoughts that makes me want to take the day off from being Christian, and I have to be real because you can lie to people, but you can't lie to God. You know, I'd be like, I know that everything is a test, and I know God doesn't put more on me than I can bear. And I know that if I, like, be confrontational or say if I curse someone out or say if I go back to my old life because I just feel he's brought me a long way. I mean, God has brought me a really long way. I was brought up in a church, but I strayed away, like she said, and I've been years of coke and, you know, I danced, I exploited my body, and that was not of him, you know, maybe cursed. What else would I say I've done? I can say I harshly treated people, but when he changed me, you know, he groomed me into what it is he wanted me to be, and my no means am I perfect. He's still working on me, but I do have days where when people get nasty with me, I just want to go off and then how I used to do when I got mad, just go and take me a line. But you know what I'm saying? Now it's just like I just go into my little prayer and I get high off of Christ and, you know, it takes me a while to get there, but I do. Will I do it? I don't know. That's why I always ask to say, am I really a Christian? Because some days I feel like I'm put on the edge to be like, you know what, today could be the day that I'm going all the way back. And I know that I can say, God, forgive me. But then you're being a willing transgressor if you already know that this is wrong and you still do it. So I guess I'm just like, have you been pushed that far? Do you think that at some point in this walk, yeah, it'll be a day where I'm going to take the day off from being a Christian and do what I got to do and then say, you know, God, I know you forgive me. And
well,
go
I mean,
back to doing what you're doing.
No, I mean, there's always those temptations out there, but once you grow in Christ enough to where you know, is this going to benefit me in any way positively? Is there any fruit going to come from what decision I'm about to make?
Mm-hmm.
Once you grow in Christ enough to know that you're not going to feel him every day. I mean, you may hear him every day, you may not hear him every day. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, you know what's right and wrong. You know what's going to come from it, especially things that you've dealt with before. You know, me, I'm a long line of alcoholics and drunks and drug addicts and whatever, and I've done it all. You know, I've been there, I've done that, and I know where that takes me. You know, I learned from those experiences. I've been homeless. You know, I've been it all. I've done it all, you know. So I know where that leads me. So would I want to go back to that? No. I don't ever intend to go back to that. The whole point of the walk is to move forward. You don't take two steps forward and three steps back.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, for me, it's never about whether I want to quit being a Christian and whether I want to take a day off. To me, it's more like, you know, I'm not worried about what everybody around me sees or says about me or thinks about me. I'm worried about what Christ is going to think about me if I take that step back or I step too close to that edge and I fall over it, because the temptations are always there. I mean, they always say once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. Well, I don't find that to be true with me. I mean, I was a full-blown alcoholic. I drank 2/5 and a case of beer and still be looking for more stuff to drink, and I was fine with it. You know, I could walk, I could function, I could drive, I could do whatever. But I don't get close to that line anymore. I won't go sit down at a bar and have 6 beers or 8 beers or 10 or 12 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have a beer if I have one. I don't even have the taste for beer anymore. I can barely get one down. So, I mean, it depends on, you know, it's a heart issue for me. I mean, I don't think that I would like to go back to partying and, you know, being around the stuff. I won't put myself in those situations because I know better. The temptation's always there. So, yes and no. You know, I have put myself in those situations to talk people out of doing stupid stuff,
mm-hmm.
but I know how far I can go. You know, I know what my limitations are. So I don't do it.
And you hear it best. To me, that sounds like conviction. Of course, when you get to know the Lord and you have or develop your own personal relationship with Him, anything that's not like Him will convict you. You know, it'll set in and weigh on you. I'm just saying, talking from
what's
personal
your conscience
experience. Yeah, definitely that. So
looks like we're being videotaped.
We are. We're being taped. Everyone say hi to the camera.
Hello.
Not only are they hear that audio, we're going to have a little video.
You know, before we get off here,
that,
I got something that I've been thinking about a lot.
What you been thinking
about,
Bill?
The way, and you can hear my phone, I have a message there. The way on Facebook, and this has really got me upset, that people put posts up about Jesus, and put,
yeah,
if you don't like this, then you're going to hell.
Oh, I can't stand that either. Bill, I'm glad you touched on that.
I comment on those all the time. I'm like,
it upsets me because, just because you won't
type amen.
Well, it's like it's basically saying, you know, if you don't like this, then you don't love the Lord.
Right.
You don't want to go out and, you know, profess your love for Him. If you don't click on this, then you, or they'll put on here, if you scroll past this, then you hate God.
Or this is God speaking to you. God can speak to me and don't got to be through Facebook on the text message. I ain't saying that He can't, but yeah, that upsets me too, Bill. I'm glad you touched on that because here we are, you know. There could be someone to see that and question it, like, so, you know what I'm saying? So
it's making a mockery, in my opinion.
Right. If He really done this on me or not like me or turned me away. And that's and people, to those that do not know or have your own personal right, that's not the way that it works, you know. Once you open up your heart, and this is in Romans 9:10, you confess with your heart and confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. You know, you don't fall for the gimmicks and the okie dokies and things like that. That's what gets you to the point of where you're saved. You know what I'm saying? As long as you're believing in Him and you're obtaining your own walk, you know, as we were saying, the pastor said before, she doesn't have a problem with religion. And then Chad was like, religion is what condemns people to hell.
Yeah.
You know, you have to have your own personal walk with Him. I know that there's a lot of times and in a lot of ways where people who are called and sit by people of God, I'm not just putting my mouth on people, but it says, touch not my anointed and lose my prophets, no harm. So that's why I'm not putting my mouth on people, but they run them away from Christ or they run them away from God. And then I guess our motive tonight to all of our listeners is to get you to believe. If you've never heard and you don't know, now you don't have an excuse. You do know because it was brought to you live by Kristen Kay. And again, I know usually for those that know me, I'm usually comical, but you never know what I might say or do, but just know I'm going to keep it real. This is just like a real conversation. You know, these are for those that are lost. You know, God's not looking for us to be perfect, not at all. He's looking for us to be acceptable and appeasing to Him. That's what He's looking for. And whatever it is that's wrong with you, He can right your wrongs. Sometimes we can do it on our own, and sometimes we just, you know, we need other motivations or we need someone else to do that or something else to do it. Why else I have it done except for by the higher power? Excuse me. So does anyone have anything to say to our listeners tonight? To those that don't know or to those that have just learned tonight?
Hey, I just said, you know, don't be pushed into faith. If you feel it in your heart, then go for it. If somebody's trying to push you into coming into the church or religion, you know, take your own time. You don't have to be forced into it. That's what I always tell my daughter. I tell my son, you know, when you feel it in your heart and you feel it, then go to it. But don't try to be a fake person about it. Don't be trying to tell other people what to do just because it's what the Bible says, just because you feel it in your heart.
Right. You know, because Jesus didn't force Himself on anybody. He told them whether they accepted it or not, it was on them. So
people,
you know, that wasn't, he didn't force His belief on anything. He talked. If you listened, you listened. He didn't make you do it, and God, He's not like that either. You know what I'm saying? He gives you a will. He gives us something. He didn't even give the angel, and that's the will.
Well, in the Bible, it says that we'll judge the angels when we get to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So, look forward to that. The only thing I want to say is if you're interested or this got to you, then just read Romans and Colossians and Galatians. Just Romans mainly, though. Read Romans.
And if you don't have a church home here in the Lexington area, I'd like for you to fellowship with us at 1403 North Forbes Road. Excuse me, that's the Church of where the pastor, Tabitha Wilson, is the pastor, and services start at 1:30 p.m. This is Crystal K. Thank you for listening.
And this is a special Dr. Martin Luther King contribution brought to you by the students here at National College. I am Crystal K.
I'm Cam Wayne.
And I'm Joy.
I want to hear this.
We just wanted to go back to the early years, so this is like the past. Born as Michael King Jr. on January 15, 1929, Martin Luther King Jr. was the middle child of Michael King Sr. and Alberta Williams King. The King and Williams families were rooted in rural Georgia. Martin Jr.'s grandfather, A.D. Williams, was